of sharing. I'd like to just give some introduction and then offer some of the some things that you can expect. Open it for questions. We want there to be freedom here for dialogue and so forth. And so I'll get started here. As we well know, that the Apostle Paul, in writing to, well, when he planted churches, he made certain that he either left leaders in place, or then had leaders ordained to take responsibility for a local congregation. And throughout history, it's simply been a fact that the church has had people in place that served as under shepherds, that is under the true shepherd, the great shepherd, I should say. And Lee reminded us this morning that in the time of the Reformation, many times those leaders lived very short, or their life expectancy was very short after they were ordained. And so it has seemed important to God to have leaders in place. What we're looking at in the ordination here is simply an effort to continue that mandate, to continue responsibly in providing leadership for the congregation here at Center. I'd like to just review a number of the reasons, aside from the ones that are generally, the ones we generally look at as reasons for an ordination is there a need? Is this the time? And is there leadership material available to ordain? And we think all three of those are valid. A little more specific reasons for the ordination is that four of us in leadership here are in our upper 50s, and we think it is time that we look at how we provide for men to come to men who would follow us in leadership. I continue to look ahead to the replacing myself as lead elder or bishop or whatever name you want to call it. We'll get to that maybe just a little bit later then. And I think that should happen around the time that I turn 65. And that would be in about 7 years. And then another thing that we keep thinking about is additional outreach opportunities. We're not sure what the Lord has in mind for the church here. And so while it may seem a bit overdone to have the six of us now ordaining two more and have Brother Amos, who is fully retired, brings the number to eight. Seems like a lot of ministers, but you'll also recognize the fact that frequently we are absent for church reasons, for church other responsibilities. And so those are some of the reasons that we have felt like it is time to move ahead and to have a double ordination in this case, instead of just the one, instead of just ordaining one brother. A number of you have asked a bit about the reason for having Brother Ernest Strubar come and preach the message that he did. And there were several reasons. One of the reasons was to help us understand from a biblical perspective what pastoral roles should look like and what the Bible says about them. Number two was to look at the possibility of sometime in the future expanding the role of the charge that the ministers receive. We call them ministers. It may not be the correct, may not be the best term, but we have come to know them as ministers. I think deacon has the term deacon could also be considered minister. I mean, the deacon is, in fact, as much a minister as anyone. And so, but looking at expanding, perhaps expanding the role of the ministers to include some of the responsibilities that are typically have typically been exclusively kept for the work of the bishop. And we're also thoughtful about how we do this kind of thing, because we know that to take a congregation who has been used to one thing and to try to shift to something different can take some time. And so the timing here was not an effort to try and quickly cram something through before the next ordination. It was just that we're talking about ordinations, we're talking about pastoral roles, and it seemed like an appropriate time to bring in a brother who has had his own, who's walked his own journey, and to give his perspective on it. You'll notice that Brother Ernest didn't leave us with mandates that this is the way that the Center Church has to do it now. But he gave us scriptural bases to work from. And so we're just simply looking at how that will best serve the congregation. This is not an effort to do away with the role or with the office of a lead elder, but to facilitate the health of the body. There are times when it would make when it would make more sense, even in the absence of the bishop, to move ahead with things. And I feel like in so many ways that has been able to happen, because there's just been my co-ministers have been very willing to step up and take responsibility, and I value that a lot. I should just say this. Some of the things I'm talking about as far as roles or things that the bishop typically has done is things like baptisms, serving of communion, and officiating at weddings and so forth, are things that we may choose here in the future to spread out further. I wonder, maybe I'll just pause at this point and allow you to ask any question that you might have about what I've said here. I was going to get to that. I could just jump to that right away and talk about that. It's true that we continue to we've talked about men younger than the ones that are in their upper 50s. We don't feel comfortable though just drawing a line and saying that it's in this category or this age group that one can be ordained. We are, we're saying someone younger, but we're not specifying how much younger. We could see a number of God-honoring scenarios come out of this ordination, both in preparation for future leadership, as well as taking the lead role here at some point. And so it's not, to say we've got an age limit. No, we have not set that, but we feel like we would like to let the people speak to that question in the way that they vote. Does that answer the question? Is it satisfactory? Is it a little confusing yet?
That's fine.
Okay. So David. Yeah. I think that's a helpful point. There is certainly something to be said for ministers who have been in the harness for many, many years. There's also something to be said for ministers who have had experience in other types of work and then serve the Lord in an ordained capacity for some time. So it seems to us that there are different ways that the Lord could use effectively men who are younger. And by the way, men who are older than we are being used very effectively as well. We are not trying to limit it even for that. Yes.
There's been a request. It's a little difficult to hear the overflow. If you could just summarize the question,
Okay. Very good. Yes. Menno asked the question if there had been an age limit set or an age, some guidance given to age for the ones to be ordained this next at the ordinations. And then Brother David just cited the fact that the four of us who are now in our upper 50s, two were born in 51, two were born in 52, and that we were ordained at different times and different places and for different purposes. And that would lead us to believe that we shouldn't regulate too closely exactly what happens. So, does that help? I will try to remember that. And who did I miss? Someone else may have said something and I failed to pick up on it. Well, I'd like then to just speak a bit about the voting process that we are comfortable with. We would expect to do the voting on Friday evening, and at the end of after the preaching service. And since there will be two brothers ordained, it seems appropriate to us that we would open it up so that you can give two nominations. If there are two brothers that you think of that you think would qualify well, we'd like to open it up for you to give two nominations. We're not requiring that, even as we don't require you to give even one nomination if you don't have some sense of clarity. And I'd like to just comment a little bit about that process for those of you who may have never been involved in the voting or in the process of voting for men who would then serve in the lot. There's probably two extremes to take. One is to be so serious about it that if we don't feel like we have a lightning bolt from heaven, we just don't dare give a name. That's the one extreme. And the other extreme is to be flippant about it and say, we're just drawing straws anyhow, so whoever. Now, we fully have the full confidence that neither one of those are the heart of anyone here. And what we look for is for you to convey to us through the voting process who you think a brother or the brothers would be that in your mind would be qualified to serve as ordained brothers among us. You see, if you're determined to wait until you have a direct wire from God as to who it should be, it will be confusing to you if that brother doesn't show up in the lot or is not ordained. And it just seems appropriate that we're not trying to downplay the seriousness of it, but we're also not trying to overrate the importance of it. And so this is a process that we do we take into account the things we have heard about the qualifications of ministers. We take into account a variety of things that factor in here. But it's not like we are asking you to come up with the right one, with the only right one. Does that make sense, what we're trying to say here? We further believe that it would be it makes sense to us that of the votes cast, that one who would serve in the lot would have approximately 10% of the votes that have been cast. We realize that sets the bar at, I'm not quite sure exactly what number that would be, but we just feel like there's wisdom in having a bit of a floor too. There was a time when we would simply say, well, that's the number that we're going to ask for. In a situation like this, where we feel probably more comfortable saying approximately 10%. We will also say this, that I believe the last time it was that when at the last ordination, when Brother Julian was ordained, there were two brothers who were clearly, that the church clearly indicated that these are the two that the Lord was directing people to vote for at that time. And those two served in the lot. It was Brother Julian and Brother Lowell. And we didn't use a specific number that said it has to just clear that threshold. And our sense is that we want to hear the Lord through the church. We also want to be very careful about how we handle any votes, and want to be very, very thoughtful. And I do feel, we feel very unworthy of the trust that you've already granted us, and we want to be worthy of that trust. Now, yes, David. They'll be here. Yes. So, just wondering where the Kansas Youth Course would be this during this time, and if we have our schedule right, they'll be here. I'm trying to think, there was something else that I was going to say about that evening. Oh, I would like to say this to you. We will take the votes on Friday evening, and then the team here will be involved in counting the votes after. Immediately following the votes being taken, we will have a dismissal so as not to keep you later. And then we will be tabulating the votes and then getting a hold of those men yet that evening to arrange for interviews the next day. We think it wise to allow interviews before we announce the people who are in the lot for whatever reason. And so we would plan to take the votes, dismiss you, and then we'll tabulate the votes and get a hold of the brothers who would be serving in the lot.
I have one question.
Yes. Now, okay. If three...
You said three have 25% and one has 11% and the remainder are spread out. Mm-hmm. Earlier you said we're going to draw the line at 10%. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
In a long statement you said two brothers had a large percentage and you drew the line there. Mm-hmm. How
do we do that? Yeah. Good question. I'm glad you bring it up. The first of all, it's a bit risky to deal in hypothetical situations, and so I want to be a little careful how we handle that. But you're asking a pointed question that I think deserves an honest answer. We said about 10%. I can't say how we would do for sure, but I can tell you a little how it strikes me at this point. If three brothers had 25%, each had 25% of the votes, and one had 11, then I think, as I understand the heart of our team, we would use the three brothers at 25%. Does that... Well, around 10% could be 9, 10, 11. I admit that there are some ambiguities here that I would be, you know, that we'd be happy enough we don't have to deal with. And yet we're trying to hear the voice of the Lord through the voice of the church. And perhaps that is not something that brings the congregation rest.
I guess I'd like to say this. Be careful where you draw that line in excluding this brother when people have voted for this brother. We don't know if God's going to choose this brother with 11% or if he isn't. Mm-hmm. And why not include him in the
Well, I don't think I had quite said that, or I didn't mean to. I was appealing that we would use that we would look at what the Lord gives us through the voting process, and that that's why I said around 10 instead of just locking it in at 10%. Brother Nathan.
If I understood you correctly, the way I understood what you said about 10% is that you would like to see those in the lot having at least that much. I gave you the freedom to see where the kind of where the bulk of the church is leading, what the bulk of the main meeting is. Did I understand that correctly?
That is the spirit of my comments, and the spirit of our intention would be is not so much locking it into an exact number as we are trying to understand the Lord through this, and felt like 10% that there should be at least around 10% of the votes cast would be cast for someone who's included in the lot. I know this is sort of a sensitive question because we're talking here with people who could potentially serve in the lot. And so we also want you to feel comfortable to ask questions. And so feel free to do that. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Harold. Does that come any closer to making some sense?
Nathan's comment helps clarify.
Okay. I appreciate you bringing that. Yes, Julian. It's simply true that this is a time when we rely on the Lord and we want to do our part to be responsible in how we handle it, but in the final analysis, it is up to the Lord. It is up to the Lord to lead us through the process. I've been privileged to have witnessed quite a number of ordinations on behind the doors, and I'm delighted to report to you that I've never yet observed or seen an ordination where the plan was followed as it was outlined and it was and accepted by the church. I've never yet seen where there were hard decisions to make. And I just thank God for that. I there's probably never a time where I feel as much like worshiping God or as much like God has rested his finger on a situation than at times of ordination. And over and again, after the voting process has occurred, though it's different from one place to the next, it just warms my heart to see God come across and make it so clear. Even if it's not clearly indicating one person, but clearly indicating who the Lord would have serve in the lot. Yes, David.
One of the things that has come up when the brother shared that he struggles, that he doesn't get, that his agenda doesn't get in the way. I thought that was an honest thing, that we may all have preferences, we may have a
it's a healthy exercise for the ordained as well as the unordained. And I would just tell you, brothers, that I see a lot of timber out here to serve as ordained people, as ordained men of God. And I just commit myself to working whichever one of you brothers that the Lord chooses to serve with us. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Are there other questions that you'd like to... Minister brothers, is there something more that you would like to say? Gary. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I had heard before, and that's what my mindset was when you talked about this procedure.
Mm-hmm. I think those must have come up at the men's meeting probably when we were. Yeah, I missed that men's meeting. We were gone at the time. Yes. I think too, something that you bump into, regardless of how you set the floor. Or whatever you want to call it, for the number, there is something arbitrary about it. And we are honestly seeking the wisdom of the Lord in these matters. And I want to thank you for the ways that you are praying for the process and for the ways that you will stand in and help in the process. Well, Joel. That is right. I'm glad you bring that up, because we don't think it would be wise for us, because we don't know for sure what the future looks like anyhow. And so we don't think it would be very wise for us to say, well, the men that would be ordained have to be any more willing to move from here than the current ministers involved in an outreach. We're not saying, but we are wanting to keep that in mind. And this is one of those times where we think it's right to refresh our memory that there may be other, that if we had an outreach and the two newly ordained would leave, we'd have the similar dilemma that we have today. But may the Lord be blessed. I love the dilemma that we have right now. I like this full church house. And may the Lord continue to guide us in that. Was there another hand back there? Well, let me just make a couple more comments, and I think we need to bring this to a close. Brother Lee this morning said, I really did enjoy and appreciate his message. The one thing in particular that I thought it was just excellent was how he spoke about the value, about how you, he sort of unlocked some of the mysteries of determining values and priorities. What comes first? Is family, is it church, and how does it work? Just because he goes to work every day and leaves his wife at home, does that mean he doesn't like her? Or that he doesn't love her? I thought this was sort of a helpful illustration. The other thing I wanted to say is this, that the ordination can be, the Lord willing, there will be two of you brothers ordained to serve among the current leadership. What about the ones that aren't ordained? Or what about the ones in the lot that aren't ordained? I'd like to underscore this fact that Lee pointed out this morning, that we are all called. Maybe Laverne, maybe you did that too. But that we are all called to some form of ministry. And if you're not called to serve as an ordained brother, receive it instead then as a call to keep doing what you're doing and to do it with the grace of God. There is much work to be done, and I just appreciate so much the unordained among us that are very busy serving the Lord on both sides of the house, by the way. And may this time be a time where we put our confidence and our trust in the Lord and in what he wants to accomplish. Just one more thought that I hope can sort of help rest our souls and our minds a bit. Sometimes we look at an ordination. Well, we look at an ordination as pivotal, and we may tend to look at it like sometimes people look at politics. Who gets into leadership? What direction will this take the country or the society? The thing that I'd like to say is this. Leaders have a very important role in establishing a direction for the church. But the future of the church does not rest on its leaders solely. It rests on the body. And it's very... I continue to trust that God will serve this church as we serve him, regardless of the outcomes of the ordination. And so I just welcome your continued prayers, and we look forward to what the Lord would show us through the ordination 2 weeks from today. Is there something else yet, brothers, that you would like to bring up? Nathan. Yes. I had it in my notes and I closed my notes too quickly. On Saturday, the 14th, we'd like to declare that as a day of prayer and fasting, and recognizing that not all of you will be able to keep it that day. Maybe you choose to keep it a day ahead or a day after or whenever. And we also recognize that physical limitations will determine how much of that day you spend fasting. And other things will determine how much that day you spend praying. But one thing I think we'd like to do is simply invite you, if you would like to carve out a time that you'd like to come to the church house here by yourself or with others in the congregation and pray, we would see that as appropriate. And you'll probably bump into some cleaners maybe, depending on what time of the day you're here, but there's plenty of room to do that. Setting aside a time to take, to go away to pray, it can be a useful idea and a blessing. Thanks for that reminder, Nathan. I think perhaps without further ado, Brother Amos, would you like to lead us in a closing prayer as we stand?